It's good to see everyone that's come along tonight. Warm welcome to our meeting. If you have a Bible, we might open our Bibles, please, in the book called John. The book called John, which is towards the end of your Bible. John chapter number 4. John 4. This is the last of the meetings that we've been having, myself and Dean Robertson, and we're glad to see everyone that's come tonight, and we're pleased for those two that have joined with us on other nights during the past 3 weeks. There'll be no more of this series of meetings, but there are other meetings going on. There's a meeting in this hall each Sunday at 6 o'clock, and you're very welcome to come along. You'll hear the same message, and you'll probably sing the same hymn as you've sung tonight as well. There are meetings as well going on at Kirkconnell. There's a tent in Kirkconnell, and it's the same time, 8 o'clock, and it's Sunday through to Friday up at Kirkconnell, Dan Gillis, and so you don't need to miss out, certainly not for the next week or so, on meetings. Remember too, there are CDs, John Hill, if you want CDs, speak to John Hill, he'll be delighted to run off a few thousand for you. It's been a number of thousand over the past few weeks, thanks for that, John. But there are some at the back, and help yourself, and there are also the messages that have been preached on the website at www.newcomer.org. Now, if you have a Bible, we're looking at John chapter number 4 tonight. John chapter number 4, it's one of these episodes when the Lord Jesus Christ meets a person, and tonight we would love you to meet the Lord Jesus. Now John 4 and verse number 3 I'm looking at, speaking about the Lord Jesus, it says that he left Judea and he departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, that is midday. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For the disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, from whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh, the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. Then that sayest thou truly. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Verse 25, The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, and when he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And verse 28, The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And we look to God for help tonight as we think about these things together. Now you'll have noticed there that as we read in John chapter 4 that we read about at least three things. We read about a well, and we read about a woman, and we read about some water, and we want to think about those three things tonight. You'll notice that as that chapter opens, it begins at a well. It's interesting, you know, had we time to begin at the beginning of our Bibles and work our way through, you would find that oftentimes God meets people at a well. There's often things special about a well. It's oftentimes where God would meet someone and he would meet a need. And in John chapter 4, God meets a woman. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, meets a woman and he meets her need at a well. It's a special well, you know. We don't have time to go into it all, but this well, it's linked with a person called Joseph, and it's linked with a place called Sychar. It's a very special place. You would read about it in the Old Testament of the Bible, and promises were made about that person, and promises were made about that place a long time before this woman ever met the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a lot of things going on in the background, you see, ever before she met the Lord Jesus. And there she is, and she's out one day, and it's one of those coincidences in life, you know. Lots of coincidences in life, we've thought about them over the past couple of weeks. And she has one of these coincidences, where she happens just to go to a well for a drink of water, something very simple, that's all she's gone for. A drink of water and maybe some water to wash the dishes, and there she has an encounter with God at the well. She never intended to have that, but she had an encounter with God at the well. One of those coincidences that wasn't a coincidence. But it was all part of God's plan and God's purpose. And had we time, we could go way back thousands of years, and we could read about some of the promises that were made about that well, and that were being fulfilled here in John chapter 4. More than that, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we're told here in John chapter 4, had gone out of his way to meet the woman. So it was one of those many coincidences in life that wasn't a coincidence. God had a purpose, and God had a plan, and God was going to meet that woman there at that well, for God was going to save her through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we've just encouraged you over the past few weeks just to not write things off as coincidence and to think seriously about God and seriously about Christ. Do you remember we've thought about one or two of the coincidences that mean that you're here tonight? The coincidence, for example, that, many millions of years, supposedly, there was a bang and there you were, you see, sitting on planet Earth. Tremendous, that coincidence, wasn't it? Great coincidence, that. There you just happen to be on a planet just the right distance from the sun, with the right angle of rotation around the sun so that you get your seasons. Just at the right distance from the sun so that it's nice and warm, so that life can survive. Just with the right size of a moon rotating at the right angle so that the seas move and so that we have tides. Tremendous that. And there you are, you're the possessor of life. Something else that just by coincidence fell out of the sky. Tremendous. There it was, as Darwin said, it grew out of a little pond, the simplest form of life. As far as we know, something called Mycoplasma genitalium. It contains 330 genes, 500,000 pieces of information. It just fell like the Oxford Concise Dictionary into the pond, you see. Great coincidence, that one too. And there you happen to be here, in the hall tonight. Tremendous coincidence. Maybe if you go out of the hall, you'll get bitten by the midges. And you'll hurt your arm and you'll go home and you'll take a little tablet. And maybe that little tablet was taken out of the bark of a piece of willow. Aspirin. Great coincidence that too, isn't it? You know, there's too many coincidences, isn't there, in life? And one of the things we've tried to suggest over the past few weeks is this, that maybe it's not all a coincidence at all. And maybe there's a reason and there's a purpose. And maybe indeed what the Bible says is true, that God created you, God made you. And maybe it's true, you know, what the Bible says, not only did God create you, but one day God will judge you and you'll meet God. Maybe it's true what Job said that we read the other night, that in my flesh I shall see God. And what if all of this isn't just a coincidence? And what if the word of God is correct, that you are a sinner and that you need to be saved? What if it's true what God says in the book of Romans, Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? What about that? What if it is not just a coincidence? And what if when you die you're not ready to meet God and he judges you as a sinner and you're lost forever? It'll be one of those coincidences that won't be a coincidence. And here in John chapter number 4, the Lord meets this woman at a well. One of those coincidences in life, you know. I was reading the other night the comment of a leading atheist in our land. He was studying the laws of physics. Just throw this one in for good measure. I always like to throw one in, you know. If you go home tonight, you might just want to check the size of your protons. The proton is one of the smallest pieces of the universe. You know, you'll have a bother finding them. They're very, very small. But by some stroke of good luck, they're exactly 1,360 times the size of an electron. Now, the important thing about that is this, that if they weren't, you would just blow to pieces. Tremendous, isn't it? He said this, nothing has shaken my atheism more than the discovery of that fact. That if it was just a little bit out, we'd all be blown to smithereens. And if it was just the case that the density of the universe was just a little bit more, you'd all be just shrunk together in the size of the tip of a pin, you see. Lots of coincidences. Wonderful, aren't they, coincidences? Well, listen. It is no coincidence that you have life. It's no coincidence that you're here. It's no coincidence that you're listening to the word of God, because God has a purpose. And God is speaking to you through his word tonight. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, he met this woman at a well. And the second thing we want to notice is that she was there for a purpose. She was there to get some water. But maybe there's something that we just need to clear up before we get into this message of John chapter 4 tonight. And it's this, that the woman's agenda was different from the Lord's agenda. You see? What the woman was there for was different from what the Lord was there for. Now, I don't know why you've come along tonight. It's good to see you, and thanks for coming. But there's maybe a variety of reasons for you coming to this hall. But they'll be different from my reasons for you being here, you see. Some folks have come out of politeness, and that's good to be polite. And some have come maybe out of habit. And maybe some have come out of obligation. And this woman, she came to the well so that she could get a drink of water, and maybe so she could do the dishes. But there's more important things than doing the dishes, you see. So my wife tells me every night when she hands me the cloth, she's got something else to do. Well, she was there just to do some ordinary things. But the Lord was there that she might be saved. And today you may be here for some particular reason. But it's different from the Lord's reason. For the Lord wants you here tonight because he wants you to be saved, you see. And the reason that you've been invited, the reason that your friends, I know some of your family have invited you, and the reason that I've invited you is not just because I want you to come to the gospel hall, and the reason that Ian has asked you, and the reason that Mary has run you here, isn't just to fill up the hall and help with the singing. The reason is very simple. They have an agenda, and I have an agenda. The same as the Lord's agenda, we want you to be saved. And we want you to know that you are a sinner before God, and that you're in terrible danger. And that should you die in your sins, you will be utterly lost. That's important, you see. And there is only one way to be saved. There is only one name under the whole of heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Said the Lord Jesus Christ, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And unless you have ever believed in your heart that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, died on the cross for your sin, and unless you have ever repented of your sin, you're lost. Serious. Far more serious than what folks have filled their mind with in the world for the last couple of weeks. Doesn't matter, all of that nonsense. But this does matter. And there she is, you see. She's at the well. And she's just come for something very ordinary. But you know, when she goes away from this well, she goes away with something very extraordinary. In fact, it makes her forget the thing that she was there for in the first place. Sometimes that doesn't take much for me, might just forget what I was doing. But she gets caught up. She gets caught up so much with what she's found at that well. She has found the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she comes just for something ordinary. And tonight, you know, we pray that you would go away from this place with something extraordinary, with a person. And at that well, she was confronted with her need of a person. She was confronted with the emptiness and the loneliness and the barrenness of her life, and that had been brought about by sin, and she was confronted with a person that could meet her need. That, as you know, is the need that the evolutionists say you don't have, because you're just a beast. But you've got a need. Spiritual need. A deep spiritual need. There is an emptiness in your soul without Christ. And that emptiness is there because God has cut out of your life because of your sin. Your sins have separated between you and your God. Isaiah 59, verse number 2. You can check it up. Check whatever I say. Today, Isaiah 59, 2. And she's presented with a person. A person that can meet her need. In mind, she's tried a few things in her time. But this person can meet her need. This person can give her living water. Real satisfaction in life. This is the person, the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to die for her. He isn't just going to confront her with her sin and embarrass her. I think she was embarrassed at that. Well, but she isn't just going to be embarrassed. She's going to have the opportunity to turn from her sin and to receive Jesus Christ. Wonderful that, isn't it? Some people get offended, you know, after meetings. Because they get embarrassed about their sin. That's a good thing, to be embarrassed about your sin. But the purpose of these meetings is to take you a step beyond that. And is to take you to the person that can save you. That can forgive your sin. That can cleanse you. And that can give you new life. And that is able to take you all the way from here, right the way to heaven. And in John chapter 4, the woman meets the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're going to be saved, you need to know this person. So this is important. So you notice something about the well, and we've saw something about the water, and here's this woman. Here's this woman. What an offer she gets. I'm looking at verse 10. If you've got your Bible open, you maybe want to check that I'm telling you the truth here. You know, I don't want you going away saying that you got a dose of religion tonight that I'd made up. But it's all here, you see, in John chapter 4. And in John chapter 4, you know, she gets this tremendous offer. Verse 10. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Wonderful. Wonderful. Different from the ordinary water. Verse 13. This woman's tried lots of things, have never satisfied in life. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's worth having, isn't it? Not just satisfaction, but everlasting life. Invited a man to the meetings the other day. They were having some meetings at the Gospel Hall. They're very welcome to come. If you don't want to listen to me, I'll tell you the days that Ian's speaking, you can come and listen to him. Oh, he said, you know, I'm an elder in the church. That's nice. Question is, though, are you saved? Have you got everlasting life? Yeah. Everlasting life. Interestingly, the man that you'll read about in John chapter 3, he more or less was an elder in the church, you know. He's in the same boat as this woman here in John chapter 4. And they're both the same need, you see, the same need of the same person. They need Christ. They need to be saved. And this woman, what she really needs is everlasting life. She needs to be saved. And we want to ask you the question tonight. A really very simple question. It's one that you can answer. The question is this: are you saved? Are you saved? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ presented that woman with that question, really. Are you saved? Do you know that one of the very first things she did, she changed the subject and she started to talk about religion. That's what happened. Everlasting life. He speaks to her about everlasting life. Are you saved? Are you born again? Then she starts to talk about religion. It's different. Now, don't go down the path of just having a dose of religion to fill that void in your life. And don't think that you can just kind of circumvent this. Don't think you can get round about Christ. Don't think that you can get to heaven by some other means, by trying hard, by going to a church, by standing up the front. Somebody was telling me the other day, you know, that they used to get slain in the spirit. Some man would come and would put his hand upon their head and knock them to the ground. Didn't he save them? There's places that you can go and they'll put their hands upon you and they'll say that they'll save you. They cannot do it. Impossible. There is only one name under heaven given amongst men whereby you must be saved. I can't save nobody. Nobody can save anybody else. In fact, the Bible says you can't even save yourself. Put on anybody else. So no point in going and being zapped by electricity. Won't help you. Won't help you at all. You'll be just as lost as before you were zapped by electricity. Everlasting life. How do you get it? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now that's funny, isn't it? When I begin to think about everlasting life, I'm back to Jesus Christ again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him need not perish but have everlasting life. That's the secret that the Zappers are trying to hide from you. That's the secret that the ministers that tell you just do your good works are deceiving you about. That's the secret that's being kept from you. Amongst all of those layers of religion, that salvation is not in religion. Salvation is in a person. It is in the person of Jesus Christ. Salvation is made possible because God gave his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross at Calvary, and God offers to save your soul if you'll turn from your sin and accept his Son. Believe. 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 I believe. I believe that my sin is so serious that Christ had to die for it. I believe that when he died for my sin, he's able to save me from my sin. And I ask him to save me, repent of my sin, and I'm saved. Wonderful. And so the Lord begins to speak to her about everlasting life. Now, as Ian has reminded us very often, and as I've tried to remind ourselves too each night, there is something that will hold us back from Christ. There is something that will stop us from getting there. And as the Lord Jesus Christ deals with this woman, he's going to have to deal with that thing that will hold her back. Now, it's the same for us all, and it's different for us all. That's something a wee bit Irish for. It's the same for us all. It's sin that will always hold us back from Christ. But exactly what that sin in your life might be, and what sin it is in my life that might be, will be a little bit different. And if we were just to compare sins, they might just be a wee bit different, but they're all sin. The Lord Jesus is going to deal with this woman's sin. But I don't want you to go away with the idea that just because this particular thing maybe just doesn't apply to you, that therefore you're alright. That doesn't work like that way. You see, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the sin is just a little bit different. And for this particular woman, there she is at the well. I highlighted it when we read it. She had come to the well at midday. Strange time to go to a well. It's when nobody else would go to the well, because it's too hot to go to the well. Now, I remember being out in Central Africa, and you know the only clown that was walking about the villages at midday, don't you? The white man. That's right, me. Here she is. And she's out at midday in the heat of the sun. She's one of these people, you see, that tries to avoid folks. Doesn't like to look them in the eye. Things in the past and that kind of thing, you know. Things that have burdened her. Maybe her reputation, I don't know, but maybe just things that she herself knows about and the Lord knows about and they've got to her. You meet people like that, don't you? And things that have got to them. They just keep out of everybody's road now. Least said and all the rest of it. And so there she is. She's a kind of lonely character. As sinners often are lonely characters. She's a lonely character. And she's making her way to this well. The Lord speaks to her about everlasting life and living water and the great to be saved, you know, and oh, here's the one thing that might just hold her back now, her sin. And so the Lord just asks her a question. He doesn't hammer her, you know, he doesn't need to, because her conscience already just been, it's already just sensitive, you see. And maybe you're here tonight and you're sensitive about your sin. Maybe it'll just be a little word, you see, and the sin will just come up there, bubbling up, because it's always at the back of your mind. And says the Lord Jesus to this woman, just before you get this living water, you know, go call thy husband. Now, he doesn't go over all of the commandments with her, and he doesn't explain to her again about the sin of fornication. Fornication means having sexual intercourse with someone you're not married to. That's a sin, you see. It was a particular sin that was a problem in this woman's life. A serious sin. God had always intended one man, one woman, married together in perpetuity. That was God's standard. And I think she tries to cover it up a little bit, you know. And here's her answer. I have no husband. True enough. Beware of half-truths. Beware of half-truths. There's more of the story than that, though, isn't there? She's no single woman living there at Sychar. Says the Saviour, thou hast well said, I have no husband. Thou hast had five husbands. There's a story there. I don't know what the story was. Somebody told me once that she hadn't done anything wrong having five husbands because they'd all died. If they'd all died one after another, they must have been poisoned. That's all I can think of, you know. Five of them, you know. Story there. Don't know why, but she had five of them. But more to the point, the man, sometimes you can't do much about the past, you know, and, well, it's in the past, but the man that thou now hast, he's not thy husband. He's not thy husband. And so there's an ongoing problem there. There's sin there, you see. Shouldn't be going on. There's only one thing stopping you from receiving the living water. And that's your sin. Whatever it might be, it might be something very trivial. To my eyes. It might be something that would mean nothing to me, but it's enough to keep you away from the Lord, you see. It's something that you'll need to repent of, you'll need to be sorry about, and you'll need to put it right. Because you see, there's no way into heaven with sin on board. Not possible. Your sin has separated between you and your God. That's true just now. That's the cause of your misery just now. But more importantly, it'll be the cause of your misery for eternity. Because God cannot embrace sinners in his heaven. Not possible. Impossible. And that sin will keep you out of heaven. It'll keep you away from Christ. And anyway, if you're ever going to follow Christ, you'll need to put Christ first in your life. Not your sin. Not what you want. And so this thing has to be sorted out with the Lord. And that sin has to be seen as sin before his eyes. Now for that sin of fornication, you can put in any sin you like. Idolatry. Putting something before the law. Lying, thieving, whatever it might be. Or just that sin, that basic sin of unbelief. That sin of going my own way. That's enough just to keep you out of God's heaven. Keep you away from God's heaven. And it was for that sin, you see, that Christ died. And don't be thinking that that sin somehow will magically evaporate when you die. It won't magically evaporate when you die. It won't go away. The Bible backs that up. Backs it up most of all by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on the cross at Calvary. Sin does not evaporate. It cannot evaporate. That is why God took his son and gave him to die at the cross of Calvary, because sin does not magically disappear when I die. It must be paid for. And the way that God has offered to forgive my sin is by putting it upon the person of Jesus Christ. This is the Bible. Christ has once suffered for sin. Sin that wasn't his. God offers to forgive your sin. If you repent of your sin and believe that he's died on the cross for you. Wonderful. So there she is, you know. And she's presented with her sin. What about this water she came for? Well, I want you to notice, you know, that she finds something better than water at that well. There she is, you know, she's got a grasp of something. She's got a grasp of a person, and well, her mind reflects back. She's got a good Bible knowledge, or at least a bit of a Bible knowledge anyway. And her mind reflects back to all of God's precious promises given many years ago. And she grasps who this person is. This person that you're speaking to, the one that can open up her heart. Maybe you've had that experience as you've come over the few nights. Things have been read from God's word, and God has opened up your heart. Lord Jesus does that. He opens up your heart, you see. And she gets a sense that this person who has opened up her heart is none other than Messiah. He's the Christ. This is the Son of the living God. This is the one that God had promised
from the very dawn of time that he would come into the world, that he would deal with sin, that he would be able to satisfy sinners hungry and thirsty for eternal life. And she goes away and she's found a person. And I want to leave you with a question that she leaves those that she meets. Verse 29, you'll read it. And she'll leave a little question. And it's the question that I want to leave you with tonight. As she finds a person who is able to open up her heart, who's able to expose her sin, who is able then to forgive her sin, who's able to cleanse her sin, who is able to give her everlasting life, she's left with a question, is not this the Christ?
What about it? Who is he? Who made you? Where did you come from? Why is there a conscience in your mind troubling you about your sin? Why is there so much spoken of in the prophetic word of God about the coming Christ? Why is it that Jesus Christ is able to satisfy my heart? Why is it that he died on the cross at Calvary? Is not this the Christ? Is not this the answer to my need? Is not this lovely person the answer to the deep longings of my heart? Is not this the Christ of God? But if he isn't, there is absolutely nothing else that you might ever have to satisfy you. And there is absolutely no other way that you nor I will ever be in heaven. Is not this the Christ? We would pray tonight, you know, that you might find the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. That you might come in faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he died on the cross for your sins, and God offers tonight to save you by repenting and by asking his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into your life as your Lord and Saviour. If you do that, you'll be saved. If you won't, you're utterly lost, and nothing else will ever save you. Shall we pray? Our Father, we do come into thy presence. We give thanks, our Father, for thy word. We thank thee for the lovely person of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee, our Father, for the power and the simplicity of thy message. We thank thee, our Father, that only thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, is able to meet our need. We pray, our Father, tonight that thou would bless the few verses of thy word that we've read. We pray, our Father, for seed sown over past nights. Bless it, our Father. We pray for seed that has gone out recorded, our Father, and given out, and we pray that thou bless that. We think of those, our Father, that have not come, but we know they have listened, and we pray, our Father, that thou bless that seed. And we pray, our Father, that out of all of these preaching, that all this preaching that has gone on, that there might be souls who would find the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. Partners, our Father, with thy blessing we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name.